Welcome to the Confidence in Christ podcast. I'm Kayla, and I'm here to offer you the opportunity to grow in your confidence of the Lord. Through interviews with friends, simple and practical scripture application to your life, and some good old-fashioned tough love at times, you will be more equipped to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ after hanging out here with us. I'm a woman just like you who loves the Lord with all of my heart and is doing my best to follow His will for my life. Meeting you here weekly and passing on the knowledge He has given me is part of what that looks like. I am so honored that you're here, and I can't wait to help you get to know God in new and exciting ways through the podcast. Hello, friends. I hope that you are having a blessed week and that as we get ready to celebrate Easter, that you guys are as pumped as I am. Oh my goodness, I am so excited for Easter. It is by far my favorite holiday, and it is all about Jesus. No bunnies, no chocolate here. If you like those things, great for you. This is not for me. It is all about Jesus. We are crosses, we are resurrection rolls, we are all the things in the Yoder house. And I am so pumped to be able to, one, share the next couple episodes, which are really special and more focused on Easter, with you, but also in my email list. I am doing an entire week of Holy Week info. I'm teaching you guys about Holy Week and what happened each of those days, where you can read about that in scripture and all the things. So if you guys are not on my email list, make sure you go over to my website, kayladayan.com, and you guys get in that, because you get an entire week of free lessons if you're in there. Plus, you're going to get a discount code for my course, Embracing the Word, which launches next Sunday. Oh my goodness, it launches on Palm Sunday. I'm so pumped. I'll talk about that a little bit again at the end. But today we are chatting with my friend Baylor from Everything Beautiful Ministries, and she is using her voice to encourage women right where they are and remind them that we know and follow a God who is incapable of dropping the ball in our lives. Who does not need that reminder? And she is here to help us get more focused on Easter. And I'm so thankful for her and for her heart. So let's dive right in with Baylor and let's get talking about Easter. Thank you so much, Baylor, for joining me today. This is going to be a wonderful conversation.
Yes, I have been looking forward to this since we got it on the books. I don't even know how many weeks ago that was, but I have been really looking forward to our time together today, and just so thankful to have this connection with you, to be able to share, you know, each of us share our heart for God and our gratefulness to Him through these different platforms that we have access to through our ministries.
Yes. Oh, so Baylor and I met, in September of 23, we both went to the Go Get a Girl retreat, and she was actually my ride. I met her at the airport and she drove me down. It was so fun. And it's just been so great to be able to watch what God's doing in her life and then just have that connection, that just friendship and camaraderie that we all need, especially in the space of ministry and creating. And it's just, it can be really lonely. So I'm so thankful for you and thankful that you came on, because we have so much to talk about. And before we dive into any of that, I always start with your go-to book of the Bible. So what is yours, Miss Baylor?
Okay, so this, I'm a Bible teacher, and so this is a trick question.
Right?
Because it's just not fair. There are 66 to choose from. I will say, because I thought that was, of all the questions that we had looked at for this interview, this is the one that I was like, I don't have an answer.
And that's okay.
I have three answers, and I'm going to tell you why. So go to like daily reading if I need encouragement is the book of Psalms, because I think it echoes the human heart and how we can communicate with God. And it gives us kind of a roadmap, because David authored the vast majority of the Psalms that we read in that book. And he doesn't really hold back. He doesn't pretend like everything is fine when he's struggling. He gives voice to his sorrow, or sometimes to his fear, to his weariness. And I love that the book of Psalms gives us permission to give voice to those same feelings that we have to God. So to me, the Psalms are such an encouragement, because they remind us of how freely we can communicate with God. My favorite Christian living book of the Bible is the book of James.
Oh,
It is
yeah.
a fantastic, like, quick, it's only 5 chapters long, like, quick Christian how-to guide. Really a lot of instruction there. So for new believers, especially if you're like, okay, I've said yes to Jesus, I love Jesus, what do I do now? Then James is a fantastic place to start. But if I had to pick like one whole book of the Bible, it would be the Gospel of John. For sure. It would be the Gospel of John. And probably that's my answer today because I'm doing a really intense study of the Gospel of John right now.
Oh, yeah.
But what I love about it is that John shows Jesus in a way that no other book in the Bible shows Jesus. We see his love for his people on full display for everyone from, like, loudmouth Peter to the nameless men and women who he interacts with and heals and
Yeah.
restores, all the way to Judas, who betrays him. Jesus shows demonstrable love to that whole spectrum of people, and that view of him is such a gift for
Yeah.
us as we live as imitators of Christ. It's one thing to see it like, wow, that love is aimed at me. And now I have the privilege to turn around and aim that love at other people. And so I think John's gospel shows us Jesus in a way that no other book of the Bible does. So that's my cheating answer. Three answers when you said one, but I am who I
Hey, that, and I love you, and I love that because it, I mean, I love this question. I also hate it because everybody's like, pick one. Like, are you kidding me?
One.
And,
The
but
whole
it's
Bible. It's technically one book,
the
right?
whole book. That's it. I choose all of it. But I love that because you're right. Like, all of those different things, everything has its own purpose. And it's not just for like one season of our life. We can pull from all of those from every single season, no matter what we're facing. And each one in its own way shows us God's love in different demeanors and different manners. And it's so refreshing that God knows us so well that all of those different ranges of who God is can speak to us so specifically in each of those different books by the different authors. I mean, just to sit down and think that, like, oh, this giant book was written by all these different people, but it was inspired by God and it all makes sense and there's all these connections. Like, how is that not God? Like, that is so God to interweave that in such a beautiful way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially if you like alternate between studying the Old Testament and the New Testament and back and forth and back and
Yeah.
forth, you see like, oh my goodness, this is not just happenstance, right? The
Yeah.
Lord has all of human history authored, and his book lays it out for us so beautifully and clearly. And I think, I've known Jesus for as long as I can remember, and I have read the Bible a lot, and there's never been a time when I sit down with it and really intentionally focus on God's word and walk away like, eh, that didn't really have an impact on me
Right.
at all, right? Even if I'm
Yeah.
reading the same exact words again and again and again. And I think that's, there's a reason that the Bible is called God's living word. I love to go back and reread a favorite book, right? I'll re I was an English teacher before we had our kids, and so I love a good book, and I'll sit down and reread my favorites over and over and over again, but almost never am I like, oh wow, I hadn't thought of that before, when
Yeah.
I'm reading another book. But that happens to me all the time when I'm reading God's word.
He makes it fresh every single time, and it's always mind-blowing. Every single detail just pulls out, and it's just, it's awesome. God's so good. What a good God we have. Okay, so we've started to touch on this, but you are a Bible teacher, you're an author, you are a mom. I mean, all the things. Can you just tell us a little about, like, what are your passions? What do you love to do? Who is Baylor?
Gosh, who is Baylor? There's a question right there. I should bring my husband in and let him answer. No, my husband and I have been married, this year will be 17 years for us that we've been married. We have three beautiful kids. Today they are 7, 7, and 9. By the time this releases, they will be 7, 8, and 9. Our girls are right within a year of one another. And like I said, I was an English teacher before we brought our son home, and have been home with our kids since 2015. And then in 2020, everyone's favorite year, I launched Everything Beautiful Ministries, which is my job now, in addition to being home with our kids. And I write weekly women's devotionals and follow them up with teaching videos. It's been a fantastic way, such a gift from God, for a way for me to use the things that I love in a way that is hopefully prayerfully impactful for God's kingdom, because I love to teach. I love to learn something and then teach it. And when I left my classroom, I kind of suffered a little bit of an identity crisis. I was like, oh no, oh no. You know, first time mom, I feel like I'm not very good at it, but I was really good at being a teacher. What do I do? What do I do? And it was, you know, a season of solely being focused on our kids at home and meeting their needs. And then as they kind of got a little bit older and there was a little more breathing room, the Lord really laid this vision on my heart for this women's ministry. And it has been something that I have just been delighted to pour myself into for the last more than 4 years. It feels crazy
oh my
that it
goodness
has been, that it's been. So it's been weekly devotions and teaching videos every week for 4 years.
The amount
And
of
I have loved it.
content that Baylor has for you is literally
It's insane. Come find me.
Endless.
I have stuff.
He has everything you ever wanted and didn't even know you want. When I first met you and you're like, I do like all this, I was like, how do you have time to like shower or do the dishes?
Yes. Well, if something's got to go, it's the hair. So don't worry.
That's what ponytails are for.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, your most recent big thing, I guess we could say, is your new devotional, right? It's the 30 Days to Thankful, Cultivating a Grateful Heart. And it just debuted back in, was it?
The very end of October, like October, I think.
I couldn't remember if it was October or November, but oh my goodness. Yeah. So where did that come from? Like, did that grow out of your relationship with Christ, or where did that kind of focus on thankfulness and gratefulness come from?
Such a good question. I think for me, we have had some ongoing struggles with some people close to us that we've just been walking through kind of a difficult season, people that we love dearly. And it has in some ways kind of taken over a lot of my heart space and a lot of my head space. And there were just a lot of days where I was like, God, I don't feel thankful. Like, I know I'm supposed to be thankful, but when I'm looking at kind of the trajectory that things around me seem to be taking, I don't feel very thankful for what I see unfolding in front of me. And so really, like, I wrote this book for you all, but I also wrote it for myself because God was like, you are looking at the wrong thing. And that's at the crux of it, right? And that it's true for all of us. If we are looking only out there, we will not be grateful very often, right? Because we hit those mountaintops occasionally in life. And in those moments, we are overwhelmed with gratitude and we just can't believe that this has happened. And we're so thankful. But then the next day, something goes wrong and all that gratitude is so quickly wiped from our minds.
Yeah.
And we are instead looking now at the thing that's not going the way we wanted it to go. And we're like, oh, well, God, where are you? Where are you? Like, why haven't you fixed this? Why haven't you fixed this? And so 30 Days to Thankful was kind of born out of that problem in my own life and in my own heart. And it was so cool what the Lord did. What the book is not, it is not 30 Bible verses on thankfulness. That's not the book. The book instead is this beautiful arc of the human experience, everything from before we were born until the reality that if we have our identity in Christ, then this world is not our home. And so it's, each day is a scripture, a paragraph or two from me, three application questions for you to answer, and then a space for you to write a prayer of gratitude in response to the truth that we've covered. And so what each day presents you with is a truth about God from his own word that will turn your heart more and more into the posture of gratitude. So what we're looking at in this book is not our circumstances, not what is happening around us, but we are looking instead at who God is and what he has promised to do for us. And that, if that is where we can keep our focus, then our hearts will shift into that posture of gratitude, because we will realize the enormity of what God has done for us. Everything from creating us on purpose for a purpose to finding us in our sin and yanking us out of there, sacrificing his own son to do it, and then equipping and empowering us for the good works that he's called us to, all the way up until he calls us home to spend eternity in his presence. That is a lot to be thankful for, right?
Yeah.
But in the busy of daily life, it is so easy to lose sight of those things. And so what this book aims to do, each day it's short. It's not, you're not going to sit down for an hour. That's not what's going to happen. It's quick. And the goal of it is to really remind you, wow, God, this thing is true about God. It's true about God in my own personal life. And that gives me a reason to be thankful.
Yeah. It's such a different point of view from normal, like gratefulness and like gratitude and thankfulness. Like usually it's like, oh, here's Bible verse, slap it on like a band-aid and like make it work. Where this is really like you're preaching the gospel to yourself and reminding yourself, like, why does the gospel impact me on an everyday basis? Like, why should I be thankful for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ every day? Like, I'm saved, up check mark, like justification, all set. Like, no, it's so much more than that. And when the way you break it down, it's so beautiful. So if you guys go on Amazon, you can actually see, I think it's day one on there. And I sat with that and I just thought and prayed. And then you have the questions, which I am a writer. So like, give me room to write and jot notes and thoughts. So it was perfect. But it's just so eloquently written that it doesn't make you think like, oh, this person's like trying to like shove a Bible verse down my throat. It's really leading you to the heart of Christ. And it's so beautiful. As we kind of work on getting that posture of gratitude, when we go to scripture, so if we use those scriptures and we use this book, how can that help us dive into those verses even more? Maybe like, how would we go from the 30 days to thankful to into scripture even more?
So I think that 30 days to thankful is a great entry point into scripture, especially if you're someone, I mean, the Bible is a big book, right? There is a lot in there, and a lot of it is hard. A lot of it is history, and there's just a ton of information. And so if you're approaching scripture for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time, and you're like, oh, I don't really feel thankful about this. This is a lot. You know, 30 days to thankful is a fantastic, just kind of, it's like the steps that get you in the pool. Don't jump in all at once. Like do like old lady me does and get in on the steps. My kids ask me to cannonball. I'm like, I'm a step person now. I'm old enough that I'm a step person. And so that's, I think, what 30 days to thankful gives you, this excellent step into scripture. And then from there, I think one of the best ways to cultivate a heart of gratitude is to spend time in God's word every single day. Every single day. And whether that looks like, you know, you are following a read through the Bible in a year plan, or a study one book of the Bible in a year plan. There are fantastic resources out there. The one that I currently most highly recommend is 52 Weeks in the Word by Trillia Newbell. She does a phenomenal job of breaking down the entire Bible into really manageable chunks for each day. You're not, you know, because it is like, if you, especially if you're like me and you're a busy mom and you've got little kids, or maybe you've got to hustle out the door and get to work in the morning, or whatever the case may be, you might not have time to like, I'm going to sit down and for 2 hours read the Bible. You know, like that's not my life right now. Yeah, maybe one day, but not today. And so this book breaks the reading down into really manageable chunks. And then there's just a little space for each day's reading where you can write your thoughts. And that for me has been a game changer. I have been in the book for, I don't know, like a year now. I got behind in the summer because children, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I have loved it. I have loved it. And it has been so beautiful, even in, you know, the harder books of the Old Testament. You know, I'm in the prophets right now. It it has been so helpful to see God at work on the pages of scripture every single day, because it makes me see him at work in my life every single day. And that's where the gratitude comes from, is that we are reminded that we're not only grateful to God when he does what we would like him to do. We are grateful to God for who he is in our lives and for what he has promised to his children. And so that is, if you want a heart of gratitude, number one tip, spend time in God's word, because you will see who he is. This is how he reveals his character. And if you're coming at the Bible for the very first time, like I said at the beginning, I go with the book of John. That's where you should start, because you will see Jesus jump up off the pages of your Bible.
Well, and it's almost like if we think about like on our phone or on the TV, like turning up the sensitivity dial. Like, how can I get more sensitive to noticing God? Get in his word. Like you and I have the same heartbeat in that. Like everybody's like, oh, like what? Like, how do I do that? I'm like, read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible. I have a shirt that says like self-care tip, read the Bible. Like that's all I got for you. Like, just get into it. God will speak to you. Just like we talked about earlier, he makes it so real, but he's so gentle. And like, even some of those really hard stories, like, let's be honest, the Bible has some pretty nasty, bloody stories, but every single one is just covered in the mercy and the grace of God. And when you get into scripture, you start to recognize him more. And as you do that, your gratefulness and your thankfulness to who he is, not just what he does, like who he is just heightened to this new sense where like you almost go out into your day like looking like where can I see God today? Like, oh, there he is. Like I saw him here. And it just when you turn up that sensitivity, but it's hard to kind of take that first step. So I'm with Baylor. Like the first step into the pool of the Bible is grab this 30 days of thankful, because it's such a great kind of first step towards getting into the Bible again if you haven't in a while or have never done that. As we prepare for Easter, a lot of us were like, yep, like we're so thankful for the cross, and like we sing the songs and do the things and go to church. And some people only go to church at like Christmas and Easter and things like that. How can we refocus and just really point our noses towards being grateful for like what the cross actually means, like in the gospel, like that thankfulness that we need to have for the depth of just, gosh, just what he did for us.
Yeah, I would take you all the way back to Genesis 3 for that question. The saddest chapter in the entire Bible, but I think probably the most beautiful chapter. I reference it probably in three quarters of the sermons that I give, because it is so key for us. This is, of course, where Adam and Eve fall for the temptation of the serpent as he slithers up. And, did God really say that you're not supposed to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Eve is like, oh no, that's not ex or no, you're not supposed to eat from the fruit of the tree of any tree in the garden. No, he just said that we're not supposed to eat from that one tree, and neither shall we touch it, or we will surely die. And he says to her exactly what she wants to hear, right? No, you're not gonna die. If you eat that, you'll be more like God, because you'll be able to see everything. And of course, Adam and Eve, they buy it hook, line, and sinker. We know how the story goes, right? They eat the fruit, sin rushes into the world. And now, where there was once communion between God and mankind, there is a chasm miles and miles wide and unfathomably deep. But in that moment, I love what God does. He comes on the scene, and the first individual that he addresses, it's not Adam, it's not Eve, it's the serpent. And he does it in front of Adam and Eve. So they hear it. They hear what he says. And he says to the serpent, cursed are you above all the livestock, right? Because of what you've done, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat the dust of the earth all the days of your life. And then I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and yours. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So at the very moment that separation between God and mankind happens, God comes on the scene and he speaks these words of hope. So every human being in the entire, there's never been a human on the face of the earth who's had to live without hope, right? Because God declared that a savior was coming the moment that the very first sin was committed. And so what this tells us is that this was God's intent from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, God already had a plan in place for mankind to be redeemed, restored, and reconciled back to him. And that plan, of course, was Jesus. That plan was Easter. And so Easter is already on the books, on the schedule, on the calendar, all the way back in Genesis 3. God was like, oh, shoot, they messed it up. What do I do? Jesus, would you mind? You know, that's not what happened. And so as we come into Easter, and as we are tempted to get lost in the bunny rabbits and the chocolate eggs, which I don't understand why we have those, but as all of these kind of, you know, fun celebratory things are swirling around us, it's easy to get distracted by those, but we would be so wise to shift our hearts into that posture of gratitude and realize we are celebrating today because before we chose to rebel against God, he already had a plan in place to get us back. And it's this. It's this. Knowing what we would do, what we would choose, God created us anyway because he had a plan to get us back. And that, I think, speaks volumes to the love that God has for his people, right? If I'm in God's seat, I'm not going to make somebody that I know is going to turn against me,
And a
right?
lot of
I'll make
people
somebody
ask that.
by my side, right? Much, and even less than that, when they do turn against me, I'm going to be like, you know what? I will fix this at the cost of my own self. I will give up a piece of myself. I will let my son die so that you don't have to. You know, that is what God has done for us. That's what we're celebrating on Easter. It is the reason that we are free. That's what I always say about Easter. It's the reason that we're free. And it's one of those holidays, I think, you know, Christmas gets all the hype. And Christmas is fun. I'm a big fan of Christmas. But I had a Bible teacher growing up who always said there would be no Christmas without Easter. And I love that we get to celebrate Christmas because God had Easter on the calendar before we needed it.
That so Easter has always been my favorite holiday. Like it's always trumped Christmas. Like I love Christmas. Like I love me some twinkle lights and just celebrating like the birth of Jesus. But man, Easter always just like I am the one on Easter morning at church that's like sobbing because like do you guys get what's happening? Like do you understand what we are celebrating? Like am I the only one in here that gets it? Like we should just go to church on that Sunday together. That'd be interesting. The
Oh my
church be like,
gosh.
who are
They'd be like,
those ladies?
somebody call the doctor. Is it?
But it's so spot on. Like this has always been the plan. Jesus was not plan B. He wasn't. He never was. He was there the moment that we needed hope the most. And what a gift. Why not stop and just be completely and utterly thankful for what Christ has done for us? What God the Father planned all those thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. Like we have got to wake up from the distractions and just from life in general and realign ourselves to why is Easter important? Why is gratitude important? And how can we live from that place of just complete thankfulness to the Lord every single day? And it doesn't mean, like you said, like we aren't held up reading our Bible all day long. It is just keeping that in the forefront of our mind, watching for his fingerprints every single place we go and talking to him, just keeping that line of communication open through prayer and just through meditating on his word and being in his word. Oh my goodness. This is so good. I had other questions. I'm like, I don't even know what to ask anymore. You like hit everything on the head. I guess what encouragement do you have for us? Because there is nothing but hope in this conversation. So what hope can we walk forward from here as we prepare for Easter and we get ready? Like, what's the hope that we can be like, all right, this isn't going to be one of those habits that I pick up the book, read 2 days, and stop. Like, we want to keep going with this and keep our attitude of gratitude, so to say, like going farther than just Easter.
That's such a great question. So, I am a big fan of the Ebenezer, and
Mm.
this is it's something that comes from 1 Samuel 7, where Israel has been up to its, idolatrous shenanigans, doing everything that they're not supposed to be doing, and the Lord is unhappy, naturally so.
Right.
Philistines have come to fight against Israel, and they are a vastly superior army, and Israel knows they are in trouble. And so they come to Samuel, their leader, and they're like, cry out to God on our behalf. Now 5 seconds ago, they were worshiping their idols made of stone, right? But now they're in trouble, so they need the actual God. And that's important, right? Because God doesn't only show up for us when we're getting it right 100% of the time, right? If we are in our end and we realize, oh my goodness, I have been fooling around with idols, worshiping things that aren't God, Lord, help me. He's not going to be like, nah, he meets us where we
Directory.
are. Exactly. But so Samuel does it. Samuel goes before the Lord and he begs God to intervene and to save Israel from certain destruction at the hands of the Philistines. And the Lord does it. And the Philistine army is absolutely routed and completely obliterated and destroyed. And then the Lord instructs Samuel, set up this rock right here and call it Ebenezer. And every time anybody walks by this rock and sees it, tell the story of what happened here that day so that you remember what God has done for you. And so I have little Ebenezers all over my home, not rocks, but actual things. My husband and I struggled mightily in order to be able to become parents. We were told that we would not be able to have children, and we had always wanted to adopt as well. And what we were told would be about a 1 year process to adopt ended up being almost 4. And it was just a really dark and difficult season of our lives. And the day that we got the phone call that we had been matched with our son, who was born in Ethiopia, my sister-in-law snapped a photo of our faces at the exact second that we saw him for the first time. We saw his picture. It was on a computer screen, but it was the very first time we laid eyes on our son. And she took this picture right at the second that we saw him. And I have that photograph framed and it is on my nightstand. And it is the last thing I see before I go to bed at night. It's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. And I look at that picture and I think, like, that's the God that I serve, the God who did that. And I have several other things like that around our home that when I see it, I'm like, oh, the God who did that. That's the God who's with me in this. And so even if my circumstances don't seem like something that would cause me to be thankful, I can look at those things and I can be reminded of the truth that the same God who was working in my life on that day, in that moment, that same exact God is working in my life and on my behalf today in this moment, even if it doesn't feel very happy or very good. And that, I think, if you are someone who is maybe if you're in a difficult season right now, or maybe you just kind of have a heart that struggles to find gratitude, I think some of us are kind of wired that way. The Ebenezer approach is a fantastic, because when you see that thing, that photograph, that whatever it is, you're going to remember, oh, yes, that's the God that I'm on his side and he's on mine.
I think one of the first times I'd ever heard about like Ebenezer was when I met you and you just talked about it. I was so captivated by it. And I love it. And I realized like I already had that set up around my home. I just didn't have the name for it. I was like, yeah, those are just like those make me think of God. Like it is, it's an Ebenezer. And it's fun to give it a name. Like, and it's biblical. Like it's a biblical thing. Like set things up so we don't forget. And it's something simple. I mean, it could be as simple as a sticky note with some words on it, or a picture. Like it's anything, or just your memory. Like every time you drive past this place, like that reminds you of the goodness of God. And just having those little momentums, again, those things that let us see God's fingerprints, remind us of his goodness. It does. It just helps flood our hearts with that gratitude and that thankfulness. So,
Yeah, and the word Ebenezer comes from the two Hebrew words Eben and Ezer put together, which means thus far the Lord has helped us. And Man, like if I look at that photo of us seeing our son for the first time, thus far the Lord has helped us.
Yeah.
And I look at the different things around my home. Man, the Lord has helped me. God sees me. I think there's this temptation sometimes to think of God as this like far off deity who's watching us with mild, and that is simply not the case. The Lord is deeply and heavily invested in the lives of his children. And his word tells us that he works all things together for good, not just the things that are already naturally good, right?
Yeah.
Even the hard things, the heartbreaking things, the suffering, the sorrow, all of that God uses for good. Thus far the Lord has helped us, and he will continue to do so.
Amen. Amen, amen. I can't agree anymore. And I just, that's perfect. That's the perfect way to end. Like, that's it. Like, thus far, the Lord has helped. Like, and he's gonna keep going because he's so faithful. So faithful. All right, Baylor, everybody wants to connect with you now because you're now their new favorite person. And I am on board with it. So how can they connect with you? Or where can they get the 30 Days of Thankful? All those things.
So Instagram is probably where I hang out the most as far as online spaces go. And I'm just Baylor Knott, all one word. And it's Knott, like tied in a knot, but with two T's for my last name, which my kids love because when they practice spelling, they get to say TT, which is a potty word, and not get in trouble. So they are super pumped about that.
That's awesome.
My life is very exciting.
Yeah.
And you can also find me at everythingbeautifulministries.com. And that is where you can read a little bit more about what my ministry does and the different resources that I provide. I've got a free email that goes out every Wednesday. And then I've got a subscription that you can sign up for if you're interested. And that is the devotion that goes out every Monday with the teaching video and application questions to accompany it. It's $5 a month. First month is free if you want to try it. I would love to have you join me over there.
Oh, and I'll make sure I link those in the show notes as well, so you guys can just click on stuff if you'd rather. But Baylor,
Oh,
thank
and
you.
my Amazon link. Hello. Yes,
Oh,
it's in my box.
yes.
Yeah, but if you just search my name, Baylor Knott on Amazon, it's a weird name. So it's the first thing that pops up is my book.
It is. Actually, I did that earlier because I wanted to make sure I said the name of your book right, and I just typed in Baylor Knott, and it was like, here it is. So it's so perfect. But no, I'll link the book in the show notes too, because this is, I mean, if you order it now, you're gonna have it by Easter. Like, it's 2-day shipping, people. Come on, just grab it now. So I am just so thankful for you. Thankful for your heart and just your words and the way you break down scripture and tell the stories. It's so refreshing and makes it so real to me and to the people listening. So thank you just for, again, your heart, for your words, and just for being willing to come hang out with me for a little bit. This was great.
Yeah, this was wonderful, like a little mini reunion.
Yes. Oh, I'm up for this.
I know we just need to be in my minivan
Yeah,
instead.
right. It's where we're most comfortable, in the minivan.
Right.
Well, thank you again, Baylor.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
I always love talking with Baylor. She is just so much fun, and I'm so glad that you got to meet her because she is near and dear to my heart. Just the way she breaks down scripture and makes the stories come to life, was that not just so much fun? Oh my goodness, I love that about her. And also just the passion she has to help us know God in a deeper way and to be thankful, not necessarily for the things that He does for us, but man, who He is. He is just such a good, good Father. And with Easter quickly approaching, that is something that we need to focus on, is how good of a Father that we have. I highly encourage you, go on Amazon, grab Baylor's book. It is very affordable, and start working on it. I know Easter is only a couple weeks away, but that's okay. We can begin that journey to gratefulness and thankfulness and gratitude and all of those things now. So make sure you follow the links in the show notes to grab her book, connect with her, and make sure you check out her ministry because it will bless you in so many ways. Also, I wanted to let you guys know that this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday, my course is launching. Embracing the Word is coming to you here in just a few days, and I cannot wait for you guys to get your hands on it. It is about more than just learning how to read the Bible. It is all of those missing pieces that no one seems to tell us about when it comes to connecting to God and really deepening our relationship with Him. It's all in a 30-day course that I have painstakingly, because the Lord asked me to, and it is my pleasure and my honor, and I created it just for you guys. Actually, it was the Lord speaking through me 100% of the time. I look back on some of the things that you guys will do throughout that course, and I think that had to be the Holy Spirit, because that sure as heck was not me talking. Like, those are not my words. So I cannot wait for you to see what God has waiting for you in that course. You guys can access that starting Sunday on my website, kayladan.com, under courses. It's under Embracing the Word. If you guys aren't already, make sure you are in my email list, because they are getting an awesome discount code. And if you are not in the email list, you're not gonna get it. So make sure you guys go right now over to kayladan.com and you just join the email list. So one, you're gonna get updates every day of Holy Week explaining what's happening every single day in scripture all those years ago, but you're also gonna get that code. I can't wait to spend Holy Week with you in your email, just helping you understand better what was happening that week and then celebrating the launch of the course with you. So thank you again for hanging out with me today, for hanging out with Baylor, and I just can't wait to see the transformation that God gives you in your life as you grow in a more intimate relationship with Him. Chat with you next week. Want to hear more personal and applicable ways to have more confidence in Christ? Check out the Daily CCKs, 2 to 3 minutes to start your day off with confidence-filled scripture. Until next time, authentically share your confidence in Christ with others.